This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Tomorrow, Celtics Wednesday, Mego in here at 9. And a lot to talk about with Mego with regard to the Boston Celtics, who blew a 20-point lead last night.
Disgusted.
At the Garden, in their own building, right. Game one of the Eastern Conference semifinals, and we will talk about that with Mego tomorrow, and we are talking about that with you all morning long and all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. And we will get to, again, what Jaylen Brown said post-game with regard to this offense and the fact that they rely almost single-handedly on the three-point attempt in a little bit, in about 15 or 20 minutes. But we got to get back to the rest. We were right in the middle of the news. We got to get back to the rest of the news with Courtney.
The Diddy trial began yesterday. They are doing jury selection, and they mentioned celebrities that could take the stand during trial to those who were part of the jury pool. So over three dozen potential jurors were shown a list of more than 100 places and people whose names may come up, like I said, on the trial, and were asked whether they knew any of the people and whether it would affect their ability to be impartial.
Ooh, who's on the list?
So the list included celebrities like Michael B. Jordan.
Oh.
Okay, Wiggy.
Mike Myers.
It's Wiggy's guy.
It is.
Definitely can't be on the jury.
Mike Myers?
Yep.
And Austin Powers was at a Diddy party? Okay.
Correct.
All right.
And Kanye West.
Oh, Kanye, right. Yes, of course.
Yeah. I mean, Michael B. Jordan, terrible week for them to be coming out with that because he's at a high.
Maybe he doesn't know anything. Maybe he was just at a party early.
I mean, think about it. How many people, it's not who was at a Diddy's party. The list should be who didn't go to a Diddy's party because it seems like every celebrity has been to one.
But it's weird that those three would be potential people that you would hear from. I was shocked Justin Bieber's not on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And more witnesses took the stand yesterday for day 8 of the Karen Reed trial 2.0. We heard from first responder Katie McLaughlin and Lieutenant Gallagher, who testified yesterday about using the leaf blower to collect evidence. This was something that was very important in the first trial. Here's a bit of what Lieutenant Gallagher had to say.
Did you think of a way that you could look below the top of the snow without unresting the scene?
Yes, I did.
And what did you conclude?
Because of the blood, the pink spots, I thought might be blood. I thought a leaf blower would be the best method because I have seen it used and to remove light layers of snow, and it can be controlled.
And after having seen that before, making that decision, what was the benefit of a leaf blower over a shovel?
I wasn't going to miss anything with a leaf blower. Much better control.
And control, tell us what your intention. What was your hope with the leaf blower?
To clear the area. Controlled, slowly, so any potential evidence of what happened to Mr. O'Keefe wouldn't be lost.
Did you have a leaf blower with you?
Did not.
So what did you do?
Sergeant Good volunteered to go get a leaf blower.
Did you remain at the scene?
I did.
How did Ethel feel about using the leaf blower at that hour of the morning and post-pandemic, Curtis? Any idea?
How did all these people hear, I hit him? That's my question.
Well, one person heard it.
Right. Well, yeah. No, there were two people that heard it. Wasn't the other EMT that testified at the beginning of the second trial? Didn't he say he heard
Curtis,
it?
See, Curtis, I feel like you're just not watching enough of this trial. The testimony yesterday from firefighter McLaughlin directly contradicted the testimony that you're referring to from firefighter Nuttall.
Well, I'm just saying two people on the stand said they heard her say.
Right, and I'm telling you that the witness yesterday said that she actually went to the ambulance where the door was closed and locked, and she's the one who told firefighter Nuttall that she heard it. So he didn't actually hear it, according to her.
Then he perjured himself on the stand.
Correct.
Few people have done that.
All right.
No, but I'm just saying, I don't know why this gets you aggravated.
How am I aggravated?
You sound aggravated.
No, I'm not aggravated. I'm just standing in opposition to you on this particular point.
But the point can't be in opposition. Two people said that they heard her say that. That's the point. That was it. I didn't say where or when or what. I just said that two people on the stand said they heard that.
Right, but none of the police officers that were there, including one of the police officers who was standing next to this firefighter when she says she heard it or wrote it in their police reports from the day.
Right, you're talking about something I didn't bring up. I just said that two people on the stand separately said they heard this, that I hit him.
Right.
That's all.
But why wasn't she arrested?
I'm not. I wasn't on the crime scene. You're
actually
asking further questions.
Actually, three people on the stand because Jen McCabe also said she heard it. But it's just your believability of these witnesses.
Who do you believe versus who don't you believe?
Right. And stories are changing. Reports were not made correctly. So
I didn't know they used leaf blowers before, though, evidence.
I don't know. Maybe they have. I don't know.
Well, that's what the guy said.
Also, I'm confused about the leaf blower because he's talking about the blood splatter, what appeared to be blood splatter on the snow. Like, if you're blowing the snow, you're going to ruin the blood splatter regardless.
I think he's looking for, like, maybe some evidence that might be underneath the snow.
That's exactly what he's doing. But
well, he said he didn't want to miss anything.
Yeah.
So that's why he used the leaf blower. But apparently he missed 45 pieces of broken taillight.
Hi,
as well,
this is Edith, and I'm concerned about using leaf blowers.
My question would be, how many of these people, over the course of their careers, ever arrived at a crime scene with a dead body?
Probably not many, I guess.
My guess is zero. Like when the Watertown police officers were in that shoot-off with the terrorist, like they all said it was the first time they fired their gun as an officer, not in a gun range. So you're in the middle of a blizzard, it's 4 a.m., and none of these people have ever dealt with a crime scene that involved a dead body. There's going to be a lot of weird stuff going on.
I bet the EMTs and the fire department, though, have probably been on scenes where there's been plenty of dead bodies.
Yes.
Whether it's car accidents or, you know, things of that nature.
Right. Not in a blizzard on the side of a road.
This is Jeff from Easton. Hello, Jeff.
Good morning, everyone.
What's up?
Curtis, I have a quick question for Curtis, who doesn't pay attention to the case. He threw in one day, well, why would Scott Peterson dye his hair blonde if he's not guilty? So, Curtis,
that's not what I said.
Curtis,
if you're
going to
say to Scott Peterson, Jeff, if you're going to talk about Peterson, I said, yes, he dyed his hair, got new passports, and drove to Mexico. If you want to follow along, those are the three things he did when his wife died.
Exactly.
Kind of a weird set of behaviors, no, Jeff?
No. So this family did not get out of bed.
So you just said I don't pay attention. I'm just asking, did you pay attention to what I said about Peterson?
Because, listen, Curtis, this family did not get out of bed.
Peterson didn't just dye his
hair. This family sold their house. They got rid of the carpet. They got rid of the dog. The dog never barked. The people never went outside. The cop inside in bed at 6 a.m. never got up and went to the door and looked and said, what are all these cops on my lawn? Yeah, right, Curtis. So that's the same as your comment about dyeing the blonde hair.
No, well, clearly, Jeff, you're not that bright.
Your family got rid of their dog.
This is why I think I might be on the right side of history. I make an innocuous comment that multiple people on the stand have said they heard her say, I hit him, which is the entire crux of the case.
Yeah.
And then immediately it's about the crime scene and Scott Peterson. Make it make sense.
I feel like both sides are a bit unhinged.
Yeah. Oh, definitely with this thing here. Yeah. It is a good time for sellers' housing market. So if they did sell their house,
right.
It's a good time.
What's that?
Did they sell their house? A good
they
time
did, yeah.
for the sellers' market
they sold
right
it
now.
At $50,000 less than it was on the market
Ooh,
for.
The house that he grew up in.
Could have got it for
family
a lot
house.
More. Yes. This is a sellers' market right now.
Decided to sell it rather quickly.
Yeah, they better never use that agent again. Yeah, $50,000 less
Brilliant
in this market?
I love the sleight of hand trick. As well. Like, oh, they sold the house. Okay.
Well, where's Chloe? That's what I want to know. I just want to, if Chloe was rehomed, that's fine, but I want to see.
Oh, is that the dog?
Yeah. She's in Vermont somewhere,
Maybe
I think.
Chloe could be the next Pudge's pal.
Yeah,
this thing's crazy.
I'm just trying to figure out how he's got the leaf blower.
Yep.
He's blowing everything out of there, and the only thing he finds is a broken glass.
Yeah.
He doesn't find, and three drops of blood,
right?
Which he puts in red solo cups and a Stop and Shop bag.
Yep.
And he doesn't find any tail light, any pieces of the tail light.
Red tail light.
He doesn't find a shoe.
Mm-mm.
And he doesn't find a blue Boston Police Department hockey hat, which were found weeks later.
Right. It's interesting. Yeah,
it's very interesting.
Yeah.
The whole thing is very interesting.
But we're waiting to see how the jury, you know.
Correct.
Yeah.
How many more weeks we got left?
Probably a bit, Wiggs. Uh-huh.
But if she did say I hit him, none of that matters, right?
Oh, if she said I hit, if she confessed to it?
Yes.
Yes.
So all the stuff about the leaf blower, the rug, the dog, none of that
Would you recommend
matters.
If you're a police officer and you hear her saying I hit him? That you arrest the person on the actual scene when she said it?
Yeah, I'm not really concerned about that now.
Why not?
Because if she said I hit him, none of that matters.
Well, why didn't they arrest her?
I don't know. Why didn't they? I get pulled over for a DUI when I was driving drunk every day. I don't know.
Yeah, but when we're talking on this show, we all hear things very different. And so she always says, yeah, I said a few times, like, could I have hit him? That's much different than proclaiming I hit him. So again, it's he said, she said, she said, she said. That's the issue that we're facing.
The defense
here.
Attorneys are brilliant. I will tell you that.
She was that sauced up? Was
well,
she
well Curtis, how do you explain to me how Jen McCabe made seven phone calls in a span of 20 minutes to John O'Keefe's phone, and she says it's a butt dial, but none of these calls went to voicemail?
Well, for she you also to, deleted them.
And then she deleted them. The only reason they had the evidence was from John O'Keefe's right. phone that they took.
I have no desire to answer questions relating to anything else other than that people in the middle of the night, after a night of boozing, do very silly and dumb things. That's pretty simple. I mean, I couldn't even imagine. I've never seen a dead body. I've never had a friend, knock on wood, die randomly. So I don't know what I would do or how I would act. I have no idea.
But this was those phone calls were before they found him dead. These phone calls were when he was supposed to be at the house. Seven phone calls, like a minute apart, over and over again. And she says they're butt dials, but if they were butt dials, then they would go to voicemail. They ended before they were able to go to voicemail.
Well, I mean, I don't follow the case, but the thing that's strange is, like, how many people delete their, like, previous call history?
You mean before when the police are
period.
Asking for your phone?
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm just saying, I period. Don't I don't do it. I mean, is that something that, you know?
I don't know.
Like, you know,
but so. It could be just all these things could just be coincidence.
Yeah, I mean, maybe people do a lot of people.
I mean, Tom Brady destroys his phone. So.
Yes, that was never proven. Just like your theory that Kristaps Porzingis was having a bad night and then he wanted the world to know that he had bubble guts. So he was
just a key conspiracy.
He was taken out of the basketball game last
Kurt
night.
Kurt conspiracy over here, that's all.
Because he was playing poorly. Mm. All right. Well, we got to get to the rest of the news coming up.
Yeah.
We are behind, but we will get to the robot uprising still to come this morning. And right now, Courtney, with what is trending this hour.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. The Celtics drop game one in overtime to the Knicks. Final score 108-105. The guys led by 20 in the third before completely letting their foot off the gas. The Seas went cold in the second half from three but continued to fire away. Here's Joe Mazzulla after the loss on that.
I think for the most part, obviously, over the course of the game, you always can find, you know, 5-10 shots that you want to be better at. But, you know, I thought throughout the night, for the most part, we fought for good looks, you know, throughout the game. But, yeah, I mean, you can find 5-10 that we could be better at.
The Jays each had 23 points in this one, with Tatum ending with 16 rebounds as well. Kristaps Porzingis went out with an illness, and Sam Hauser exited with a right ankle sprain. The C's off tonight before Game 2 tomorrow at the TD Garden. As for the other NBA playoff game last night, the Nuggets go up after a Game 1 win over the Thunder, 121-119 the final. And the Red Sox are back in action tonight. They have the Rangers in town. First pitch is at 6:45 with Lucas Giolito taking the mound opposing Nathan Eovaldi. Lenny DiNardo will join Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 5:45 for the Mass Mutual pregame show. And the NHL draft lottery was last night. The Bruins fell two spots to number 7 with the Islanders winning the top pick. It's the first time the Bees are picking in the top 7 since 2006. That first round of the draft is June 27th. As for the NHL playoff game last night, the Maple Leafs lead the Panthers after taking Game 1 5-4. And quickly in the NFL, Washington, D.C. will host the 2027 NFL Draft. It will take place across the most iconic landmarks, including the National Mall and Pennsylvania Avenue, placing the Capitol at the center of it all.
Is there some kind of a signature Pokemon phrase that we could use every time Lucas Giolito is taking the mound for the Red Sox?
So I have two options for us. His favorite Pokemon is Cubone, so we could do Cubone, I choose you, or the classic general Pokemon catchphrase, you gotta catch them all.
Yes, yes, okay. Either one of those, wow. Every time he is taking the mound.
Honestly,
for the Red Sox.
The Red Sox as a team, every time he trots out onto the mound from the dugout, should be playing the Pokemon theme song. Or one of the handful of fantastic Pokemon theme songs.
Oh, how many are there?
I mean, there's like 13 seasons of Pokemon or something like that. And I would say Battle Frontier is great. Johto is great. The original is amazing. The Pokemon rap, tremendous.
Oh.
So there's quite a few that are
so
very
they
good.
Have songs with actual lyrics in it, like, you know.
Yeah, I want to be the very best.
Okay.
Like no one ever was.
Nice.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, that was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh for burgers, lasagna, tacos to nachos. Ground beef is on sale at Shaw's and Star Market. Get value pack 80% lean, fresh ground beef for only $2.97 a pound. That's limited to 2 when you use the digital coupon. Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
All right. Thank you, Courtney. 56 degrees, cloudy skies, afternoon high approaching 70 with afternoon storms.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Jaylen Brown post-game suggesting that the Celtics need to take a look and adjust when it comes to an offense that is built on merely lobbing three-pointers up there and hoping that they somehow start to go in. They took 60 of them last night and they missed 45 of them. So, and we talked a lot about this earlier. during Courtney's lead, whether or not Jaylen Brown is who Jaylen Brown is taking a shot at last night. And so I don't want to get back. There was a bit of a kerfuffle there. I don't want to get back into the kerfuffle, but
I think it's everybody, himself included. Like, all right, because you missed the amount of three pointers that you miss is just below what you average in a game. Right. So you average about 47, 48 three pointers a game. You missed 45 and you shot 60. So when Mazzulla says there's probably about 5 or 10 shots that we might want to reevaluate, I would say, yeah, there's about 10 to 12 and they were all three pointers. Like,
yeah, but that didn't just happen in the second half. That's why I think it's got to be a shot at Mazzulla, because it's not like they were on fire in the first half from three, and then the second half, everything fell apart. Yes, they were way worse in the second half, but the threes weren't amazing in the first. So for if it was up to Jaylen Brown, you can make those adjustments in game because you were playing in the game.
Well, but I think in the first half, right, if you, and I think Curtis said that it was about 16 that they took, right? So in the first half, they put up 3-point attempts. It was 23 first half 3-point attempts. They were 5 for 23. Like, at that point in time, you got to be like, all right, you know, we're up by 16.
Exactly.
The three-pointers are not falling, but see, the problem is...
And then the first play, Wiggs, of the second half...
was a three-pointer.
Right.
And it was Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, and I think the problem becomes...
If you're suggesting that he is pointing fingers at at Joe Mazzulla, like Courtney is, then you have to also suggest that these guys, Tatum and Brown especially, have no say in what's going on offense-wise?
I think that we have given Joe Mazzulla so much credit of getting these guys to buy in and saying that they have as well.
Yeah.
And I think that they respect Joe Mazzulla. So if Joe Mazzulla, and that is his style of coaching, he wants them to attempt threes, then they fall in line.
But if that's his job, then really, what's the difficulty of it? I mean, I could go into the room at halftime and say, hey, guys, I know you're 5 of 23. Keep chucking them. Go out there. Like, that's it. Then in the second half, they were 10 of 27 or 37.
37. 10 of 37. 37.
Like,
right.
I think Jaylen Brown is a guy that uses an edge, you know, that, like, creates monsters that don't exist to have a chip on his shoulder, and it's worked well for him. But I watched that game last night, and I just don't understand what Mazzulla did and how you could sit idly by and allow that lead to just totally evaporate and not change anything. And then to call timeout to reset an inbound play that leads to nothing. Like, it literally looked like everybody had just met during the timeout when they got on the floor.
This is Jay from South Boston. What's up, Jay?
Hey, Greg, good morning to the whole crew. I got two people that I address, one being Curtis. You gave the Celtics the triple C, the Chris Curtis curse. Thanks a lot.
Sorry.
And Sean, you are a jamoke. It makes no sense that Porzingis would take himself out because he was sick. You know what? You make more sense with one of those ball gags in your mouth than you do on the air.
Yelling doesn't make you right. And second of all,
Sean,
I didn't say he took himself out.
Are you right, Sean?
More than you, Jay.
Oh, get out of here, Sean. I'm still waiting for you in Southie, buddy.
Why would I come to Southie?
Stay out of Southie.
I have zero desire to go see people like you, Jay.
Oh, hey.
God. I think a lot of this...
I would love to come see you guys, not him.
And I think a lot of this is... It is a gift and a curse, because you were gifted last year to be able to win a championship because you shot a lot of three-pointers. But last year you averaged about 42 a game. This year you went up to 48. Then we praise Pete Pritch. We praise Derek White. We praise Jason Tatum for all the three-pointers that they make during the regular season. Then what happens is you get to the playoffs, and the approach that you've taken that got you to help you win a championship and helps you get up by 20, you say, all right, us knocking down threes is the reason why we're up by 20 at this point.
But that, you're living a little bit of a delusion there, because there are guys, they are fortunate throughout the season where you have guys, the others, or however you want to describe Derek White and Peyton Pritchard and Sam Hauser, who have extraordinary games here and there when it comes to shooting the basketball.
Right.
And so you can get deluded into the fact that that offense, which is just three-pointers and not getting the ball down low, not using your, you know, whatever bigness you have in forcing your way to the hoop. Like, Jason Tatum, he's an unbelievable talent, but several of those shots, end of regulation, where somebody was on him, and he's like the fall-away three that he's not making.
He's chucking it up, but that's what they're all doing. Derek White goes 5 of 16. There are times where he gets the ball and he just launches it, right? But they've all been, it's their gift and the curse, because if they shoot 45 three-pointers and they make 30 of them, we're here praising them today about, look at this team, always going to be able to stop them. And Courtney and I, we've kind of discussed this before, like off air. There'll be times when the Celtics can't throw the ball in the ocean from three-point land through the first three quarters, and then all of a sudden, whether it's Derek White or it's Tatum or maybe Pete Pritch comes in, and then money from three-point land, like that is their default crutch because of the analytics and what the analytics have told us in the world of basketball.
I kept thinking last night that is exactly what was going to happen in the fourth as well. Like, because we've seen it happen over and over again, where all of a sudden, the fourth quarter, it's a completely different team from three.
Well, you had 15, somewhere around 15 lead changes in the first. And so, but then we were talking about it earlier. Curtis and I both, I think everybody thought you get to that third quarter and that game is done, finished, and you're going to roll through this series. And I don't know. Maybe it's a one-off, but it's a disappointing one-off.
It is a very disappointing
when
one-off.
When you have them, like, you should never lose a playoff game when you're up by 20, ever.
No. I mean, you shouldn't, but now we've talked about this all season long, and this is the new NBA. 20 points now is nothing. 20 points literally means nothing in today's NBA. Teams come back from being down 20 all the time. You know, fight, do what you got to do, get it to 10 or under 10 by the start of the fourth quarter, and then that's where you can, you know, go on another run, and that's where you could potentially come back to win the game.
Tom says everybody needs to relax. Hello, Tom.
Hey guys, really, seriously, everybody needs to relax. It's like, we lost Sammy Hauser, one of our best three-point shooters. He sprained his ankle. The Zing Man got sick or whatever happened to him, and no one else could pick it. We were cold. Everybody was cold, and we only lost by 3 points. We are going to hammer the next game. Now everyone's tripping. Oh, we're going to win it in five. We're going to win it in four. No, this series is going to go, I'm going to say probably maybe six games, because the Knicks, you know, they fought away last night. But we're just cold, guys. That's
it.
The Celtics are going to absolutely bury them.
Maybe you're right.
Yeah, I still think the Celtics win the series, but the Knicks, with Jalen Brunson, they're a scrappy team. You know, they're going to be a team that, you look at Jalen Brunson's stats, especially his clutch stats, he's like one of the best clutch players in the NBA. So
the man in black, Twitch Mitch, said the crowd was awful last night. It was all Knicks fans last night.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Well, Santo better change his arrangements tomorrow.
Yeah, I blame
that's
Santo
on Wednesday.
For that.
That's on Wednesday. I know, and he will be with Knicks fans, yes. But even watching the game, like at the corner, the right corner of the court, that was a whole Knicks section.
Sounded loud, though, on the television. I feel like I heard a lot of Let's Go Celtics.
Yeah, there was a Let's Go Knicks chant,
too.
There was Let's Go Knicks, though, during the
anthem.
Yeah. I would also say, do whatever you can if you've been saving or you've been waiting to go to a game, to go to these, because it may change a lot next year, and I would just, in hindsight, how many more Pats games would you have gone to? In hindsight, you know, when you have a chance to see a team that is championship caliber going for back-to-back, get in the building. Try and keep the opponent fans out of
it. Oh, it's definitely changing next year. I don't care what anybody says. I think, especially when you look at this season, and maybe it might be the road might be a little bit harder to win a championship, but if you get there and the amount of money that the new owners got to pay, it's one thing if you go, all right, this team is the favorites to win this year and next year, but I don't even think that you know, they're the favorite. So I could see the owner going, like, we have to go in a different direction. It's too much money for a team that isn't the clear-cut favorite.
Well, they – but they have been and should be the clear-cut favorite.
They haven't been the – they might have been the favorite at the beginning of the season, but throughout the season, I mean, Shime's the guy. There were plenty of people that were picking OKC. There were plenty of people – and I believe OKC's probably still the favorite.
They are.
How can OKC be the favorite? They are 500 against the teams that remain in the playoffs. 500.
You got to ask Shime that. He's the gambling expert. But they are the favorites.
Yeah, the Oklahoma City Thunder plus 175 to win the title. The Boston Celtics plus 210.
Weird, though, that the first game in the second round for three of the favorites all went down
opposite
way. All losses.
This is Scott from Bellingham. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how's it going, guys? So you were talking yesterday about how Tatum doesn't quite get the respect to some of the other players around the league. And he's a great player. But, I mean, last night is an example why. And it's not just because the shots didn't fall. I mean, look at the way Jokic played at the end of the game. He hits a three-pointer. It was a good shot, gets his feet set. Then another play, he drives to the basket, kicks it out, and hits a wide-open guy for a three-pointer. While Tatum is hitting fadeaway contested three-point shots, yep. You know, the last shot, second to last shot of the game, and then he does it again in overtime. In crunch time, his shot selection could be absolutely god-awful, and that's why he doesn't get the respect that some of these other guys do, is that it's like he plays too much hero ball.
Yeah, he has to be able to, at the end, because if you look at Jalen Brunson, right, his first half, he wasn't great. But his third quarter and the fourth quarter is really where him and OG.
OG Anunoby.
Yeah, stood out in both of those.
I mean, can we play a little defense?
You would think you'd be able to.
Are you still allowed to play defense in the NBA?
Yes, and you have great defenders. You would think that, you know. But they made give the Knicks credit. Give OG some credit. He made some big three-pointers that they were able to make in the second half. The issue is, you can't go 0-7 and 0-5 in the fourth quarter. From three-point land, you went 0-5, Tatum, and from the field, you went 0-7. You cannot do that. You can't. It's just, if you're going to be, you want to be in the category of the best of the best.
Yeah, and that answers a little bit your question yesterday about why he doesn't get the respect put on his name that he wants to get.
Oh, no, it didn't answer my question, because I know we had this conversation. I know why he don't get the respect. It's moments like that, but it won't matter because it's going to have to be done in the NBA Finals. So if he averages 36 the remainder of the series and they go on to beat the Knicks, it means nothing.
But these things do happen too often for a guy as good as him on a team as talented as the one he's on. Like, it's just, you can't disappear like that. I understand bad nights, everybody has them, but I just don't think you can be the most valuable player in the sport and disappear when your value is most needed.
And you know what I think part of it is? Because, you know, if you go and look at, he brought up the Joker, and you brought up, like, SGA. If you look at the Joker, I think shot 35 shots in that game last night. If you look, the second quarter, he sat Tatum for like all the way to like maybe the 6 minute mark. They have, and it's kind of a oxymoron to say this, but they have a lot of good players where your superstars don't shoot as much as they would on a team with guys that aren't. You know what I'm trying
to get?
They
get used to relying on the other guys.
Like spreading the ball out, where if you look at the Joker, or even if you looked at Jalen Brunson, he'll take 35, 30 shots where Tatum might take 20, 22, 23, but then Jalen will get his 20, 22. Last night, Derek White at 18. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's a reason why, but when you're the superstar, sometimes you might have to be selfish and hawk up way more shots than everybody else.
All right. It is a two for Tuesday, and that means I have Red Sox tickets to give away right now. So if you are caller number 9 on the contest line, which is 617-931-0937, and you know the code word, then you will score a pair of tickets to go see the Red Sox and the Braves on May 16th at Friendly Fenway. So call now And your next chance to win with us is at 9:30 and then all day long on the 30s on a 2 for Tuesday at WEEI. Can we finally get to the Robot Uprising report next?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Coming up momentarily, we will get to the Robot Uprising report for today. And at 9:20, as always, we are going to play your Hill Notes back. So you can leave one of those on any topic now on the Odyssey app. And there are a lot of great potential topics today, including, of course, the Celtics lost last night in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Semifinals. There's a little bit of an argument between Courtney and Wiggy today, which could be addressed. I don't know. You didn't get to spend as much time with the Met Gala last night as you wanted to, you said during your lead yesterday. So some interesting goings on there. LeBron James was a no-show. That was your whole lead yesterday. What happened to LeBron?
Yeah, he's hurt.
Oh, he's hurt?
He made the announcement ahead of time. He said, you know, I know a lot of people were expecting me.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't uh-huh. going to be able to make it. It uh-huh. did come out as well that Taylor Swift and Travis were invited, but they uh-huh. turned it down. Conflict in uh-huh. scheduling.
If you are watching the show on Twitch or on YouTube, and you should every day, the show on Twitch is presented by Springer's Jewelers. And they don't just sell diamonds. They teach you how to buy them. They have the best prices in New England. And they are in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire. So go to springersjewelers.com. But you can take a look at Steph Diggs, who looked fantastic last night at the Met Gala. That's a look, Wiggy.
Uh-huh.
I could see you in that. Is that a frock, or what do you call that fur that he is wearing?
Oh, what that is. That's like a
side frock.
Like a king fur.
Or
half frock or something
like that. Half jacket, if you will.
Okay. I like the suit.
Yeah,
but
that's
I probably wouldn't rock that fur thing.
You wouldn't go with the fur thing?
No, not over the suit. But, hey, listen, I ain't going to knock Steph Diggs because he got him one right now, him and Cardi B. So if you got Cardi B on your hip, you're doing something right.
You're doing it right when it comes to the
those hips don't lie.
Yeah.
Cardi B was there last night, too. She was debuting, like, a new hairstyle and eye color.
Yeah. I didn't like the hairstyle, like the kind of puffy, like, kind of afro look. I didn't really like the style.
Then you had Andre 3000, who showed up wearing a full piano.
Yes.
Yeah. yes.
Yeah.
That's getting isn't there an expression about getting the piano off your back?
That's what you would think.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's when you run really slow, man. Get the piano off your back.
Right.
But he is one half Outkast, so their music is so good.
Is he the one now, Wiggy, touring by himself, just playing flute?
Yes, that is Andre 3000.
Yep, jazz flute.
The Met is supposed to be very camp, and that is exactly what this is, you know?
And then I noticed, because Lindsay was watching this, as you were, and so I was able to catch a glimpse of Nicki Minaj, who was leaving her hotel in the rain and didn't want anybody to see what she was wearing before she arrived at the Met Gala. So you'll notice here several of the handlers of Nicki Minaj are escorting her out in some kind of a box type scenario so that nobody can see her outfit before the time is right to reveal the outfit.
But the outfit wasn't crazy, though.
All of these people have way too much time on their hands.
Well, I mean, Curtis, you should have seen the amount of people that were trying to be by the Mark Hotel, which I believe is where she's exiting right now. There's a few hotels that all the celebrities are at, and people don't go to work for the day and just stand outside the hotel trying to get a glimpse before they hit the red carpet. I was nervous that this was going to be, because it was a masculine forward Met. Yeah. So I was like, oh, we're not going to get any of the pretty dresses or the over the top dresses. I thought Anne Hathaway looked great. She was in like a men's shirt with a sparkled skirt bottom.
Yeah. What is masculine forward?
Yeah. Like a lot of suits, a lot of button downs.
And who makes that call?
Anna Wintour picked the theme because it's based off of what their latest exhibit is, which was tailored black style, but they changed it to tailored for you.
Let's see. Is it a read every text Tuesday, Curtis?
Sure is. It's masculine forward Wednesday.
Okay. Right. Met Gala. What happened to the show? What a joke. Well, you should also ask what happened to your potential star wide receiver on the New England Patriots, Steph Diggs, because he was there last night. At said Met Gala.
Halle Berry's dress was nice. Halle Berry's dress was nice. I just didn't like the no eyebrow look, but
that's hot
her
right
dress
now.
Was nice.
This is Derek on the Cape. Hello, Derek.
Hey, how's it going? Derek, I'm from Fairhaven, Mass. So I'm a huge Bills fan, right?
Yeah.
And I know you got Stephon Diggs now. Yeah. He's your number one wide receiver. You guys are all up in the air. I love him. But you're going to quickly turn on him when he starts dropping the ball and he's wearing all these fancy outfits.
I like the fancy outfits.
You're going to realize that the guy is not as good as you think he is. He's not the old Stephon Diggs. I just want to give you guys a heads up.
All right. Derek, my favorite play for the Bills last year was when you inexplicably tried to sneak it from the one-yard line, leading you to use a timeout, which ended up costing you the game against the Rams, and likely home field in the playoffs. Mm. That was my favorite.
And we only need him to be good for a year and a half, let's be honest. We're only going to get him for half a season, be solid this year, and then be good for us next year, and then, I mean, because he's already getting older.
I will never allow a Bills fan to come onto a Boston radio station and attempt to troll Patriots fans. Get to a Super Bowl and don't lose it. Once.
We're going to have to push off the robot uprising. Oh. We're just running behind today. Okay. Can we do it next, please?
Of course.
Okay. All right. We will get to it finally next.